Hi, welcome to the MVC screencast series using ASP.NET MVC with community tools. My name is Brandon Satram. I'm a developer evangelist with Microsoft. You can reach me at the email below, find my blog at www.userinexperience.com, or reach me on Twitter at Brandon Satram. This is part one on NuGet. This and other screencasts are available at bit.ly/MVC screencasts. This is going to be a several part series on building ASP.NET MVC applications using what I call community tools. As we dig into the list, I want to talk a little bit about what I mean by the term community. Most of the items that I'm going to talk about in the coming months are open source, and not many of them stewarded actively by Microsoft. But I use the word community to be broader than open source, to really talk about the types of tools and technologies that MVC developers rely heavily upon to build and enhance their MVC applications. And the purpose of this screencast series is to highlight a small number of those tools that most of us typically use, or a lot of us leverage at one point or another in building our MVC applications. As I said, most of those are open source, but I use the term community to signify the growing ecosystem of tools and applications written for MVC developers by MVC developers. Part one of the screencast series is on NuGet, which is available at nuget.codeplex.com. I start with NuGet because it would be hard at this point to start any conversation about community tools in MVC without talking about NuGet, a package management system designed to make finding and using community tools in your MVC applications, or really any .NET application for that matter, easier. But before we dig into what NuGet is all about, let's back up and talk a little bit about the name. With package management .NET, we start the conversation by talking about NU. NU was a project that was inspired by and which was leveraged the RubyGems system to bring package management to .NET. Around the same time it wasn't being publicly announced, there was an internal team at Microsoft that was working on their own package management system called NPAC. The NPAC team, before they decided to publicly announce and release the product that they had been working on, approached the NU team and asked them to join forces, and that started what was called NuPAC. NuPAC was announced a couple of months ago, and that merge project continued development, and this was announced as a collaboration between Microsoft and the community. A short time later, it was actually discovered that the NuPAC name was shared by a group of Caltech researchers who were working on software for nucleic acid systems. So the name was changed, and after some community discussion, NuGet was the chosen name. And that's the current name that we have today. Hopefully will be the name that we continue with moving forward. One of the things that's really neat about the NuGet project, and a word about pronunciation, there is not yet an official pronunciation for NuGet. Some folks use the term NuGet, others say NuGet, and some say Nugget. I personally prefer NuGet, and you'll hear me use that in this screencast. So Microsoft with NuGet is taking its commitment to the community and to open source even further. This is a project that was announced around the time of the MVC 3 beta. NuGet is a package management tool that provides Visual Studio integration, which allows you to quickly download and include assemblies and configuration and scripting into your MVC applications. The package manager is accessible via a new Add Package Reference context menu and via PowerShell integration as well. Open source developers can publish packages for popular tools, things like StructureMap and Hibernate, RhinoMox, etc., and MVC developers can then discover and include those in their projects. What's really unique, and it's worth pointing out about this effort, is that the NuGet is an open source collaboration between Microsoft and open source developers. So this project is actually stewarded by the Outer Curve Foundation, formerly known as the CodePlex Foundation in its own recent name change. NuGet is actually has both Microsoft and non-Microsoft employees committing daily to its code base. So there are full-time Microsoft employees that are spending a large part of their job committing to this open source project that is also being committed to by non-Microsoft employees. For a project that's being released as a Visual Studio add-in officially by Microsoft, that's a pretty impressive feat. NuGet is really designed to solve this problem. I need product X for my site. Historically, there were several steps involved in obtaining a third-party tool for your application. You had to find it, download it, put it into the right location in your project directory, add a reference to it, and update any necessary configuration before you could actually use the product in your application or site. And this is all happy path. Once you started getting into dependencies and mixed versions of shared assemblies, you can see that managing all of these things yourself becomes quite time consuming, especially as you use more and more open source tools in your application. And this is all quite a distraction from what you're really trying to do, which is to deliver value from someone. If you need an ORM, you want to be able to get up and running with that ORM as quickly as possible, not find all of the chaining and cascading dependencies to be able to successfully leverage that ORM in your site. NuGet is designed to automate that entire process so that adding a package is as easy as adding a reference, assembly reference, to a .NET Framework DLL. As we dig into the demos, I do want to introduce RazorLib, the application that we'll be working with for this entire screencast series. RazorLib is a helper sharing site. If you're familiar with the new @Razor syntax that's being introduced in ASP.NET MVC 3, you probably also know that along with that syntax and that ability to be used both in MVC 3 applications, but also WebMatrix, there's a new helper syntax, @helper, or a DLL-based syntax that you can use to automate common tasks in MVC applications, like, for example, putting a Stack Overflow flare badge on your pager site, or putting a CAPTCHA form in your application. So RazorLib is a site that's being created for the purpose of allowing people to post their own helpers, to vote on helpers, really a community. We're going to break this screencast into two different parts today. The first is going to be using NuGet packages, and the second is actually going to be how you create your own NuGet packages and allow other developers to use those. So let's start by adding a package, and let's use what's quickly becoming the classic Hello World demo for NuGet, and that is adding Elma. I'm going to use Elma because it actually shows off the zero to functional capabilities that NuGet provides in your applications and how quickly you can automate some of those tasks. The first thing that we need to do is install NuGet. So we're going to go up to the Tools menu and open up the Extension Manager. If that's open, we're going to click on the online gallery, and in the search box we're going to type NuGet. When that comes up, we're going to go ahead and click on download to install the package manager. Once that's installed, we're going to need to restart Visual Studio. So we're going to wait for a moment and let that install, and then click restart now when everything wraps up. So Visual Studio should be open again, and you'll need to open up the package manager console, which, if it's not open automatically, you can go into the View menu, Other Windows, and select the Package Manager console. Once that comes up, go ahead and type in List Package, and that'll show you the master list of all the packages that are available in the official Package Manager feed that Microsoft manages. And you can tell by looking at the list that there's quite a lot of stuff in there, which is great. This list is growing every day, so you can expect more and more information, more and more tools to be in here. Once you find the Elma package, you need to take the official name in order to actually install that package, but you'll notice that the feed has the name, the version number, and then some description about the package itself. So now to install Elma, you're going to type install-package and then the name, the official name, which in this case is Elma. Click Enter, and then that's going to take a moment to install. It'll find the assembly, and then that's going to add a reference in your site project. You'll notice that if you go up to References, that the Elma assembly has been referenced in your site. You'll also notice in your web.config that Elma has not just done a reference, but has also made some modifications to your web.config that Elma requires in order to function. And this is one of the reasons why Elma is such a great example of the value of package management, because it's an example of a tool that doesn't just require an assembly reference, but you traditionally had to go in and find the right places to add the HTTP modules and handlers, the right config values and places in order to make Elma functional. And it does all that for you just by virtue of installing that package. So we're going to go ahead and save. We're going to make a run a build. And then we're going to run the site. Type in some arbitrarily bad URL, in this case, bad URL. Notice that the resource cannot be found. So now we're going to navigate to elma.axd, and you'll notice we've got functionality in Elma just like that. Now let's take that a little bit further and actually show how you can use NuGet to script the console, to add additional commands and automation into an existing project using the MVC scaffold package. To install the MVC scaffold package, we'll type install package MVC scaffold in the package manager console window. You'll notice that in this case, there haven't been any references added in the project. What we have gotten instead is this code templates folder, which has added a couple of T4 templates for adding models, views, and controllers. If you go into your package local package sources, like I have here, if you've copied these sources local and you go into MVC scaffold, you'll notice inside of this directory, in addition, there's not a lib folder. Instead, you have content and tools, which are the other two types of folders that you can put inside of a NuGet package. Content is basically just takes anything that's in the content directory and it deploys that, it puts that locally at the root of the project that you reference the package in. So in this case, this is those T4 templates. And then tools are leveraged by NuGet to provide additional functionality to add extra DLLs, not as references in the project, but for use in that project context. So another thing you'll see in here is a PowerShell file. So another thing that NuGet allows is you to use PowerShell files to perform series of commands. In this case, we're actually init.ps1 is actually adding a series of global functions to the package through access in the package manager console, which is a PowerShell console. And MVC scaffold is a scaffolding framework similar to Ruby on Rails scaffolding that allows you from a model to generate controllers and views to speed up your development process. So we're going to add a model. We're going to call it user profile. Then we're going to add a couple of properties. And so now that we've got these properties, we can go ahead and build. And when everything works and everything's building, we can go back into the Package Manager console and we can say scaffold controller, give it the model name, user profile, the context, and this is the data context that I'm using with Entity Framework. So the context already has knowledge about the user profile. I've added that previously. But by calling scaffold controller with the model in the correct data context, it automatically goes in and adds the controller and then a series of views. So you'll see the user profile controller and a new view directory and then a series of views to provide various functions. So I'm going to fix a couple of build errors first. This is just for the case of referencing. Great. Build that and run it. Navigate to the user profile page. And so we've got our index. We don't have anything yet. We can click on create new. And you'll notice that this is, of course, not yet styled to my site. I can go in later and do that. But the simple work of actually getting everything working, functional against my repository is there. I can view the details. I can go in and edit, make a change, save that field, go back in and delete it. And so with MVC Scaffold, so I'm using NuGet to actually go beyond just simple package referencing, but also able to actually add extra functionality to my MVC site, in this case MVC Scaffold, which gets me moving faster with building out controllers and views based on the models that I've defined in my site. In the second part of the screencast, we're going to cover how you can create your own NuGet packages for others to leverage inside of their projects. And we're going to start by creating our own simple package that just does a basic assembly reference inside of the referencing project. So the first thing we need to do to create your own package is to navigate to newpackpackages.codeplex.com. And that will actually take you to, as it states here, the temporary NuPack or NuGet package repository site. For now, until NuPack reaches RTM and the gallery site is up, this is the place where the public feed is pulled from. So you'll come into here and you will sign in to CodePlex using your account. And then once you've signed in, go into source code. And you're going to want to create a fork so that you can do some local work. You name that fork and click Save. Once your package has been created, go ahead and take this clone URL and using your curl, go ahead and pull that locally, which I have done here in my development source. So let me show you one of the packages that I created recently for MVC Contrib, the Watton Test Helpers project. So inside of each of these folders, you'll see a definition, a couple of different things. If there's multiple versions, you'll see the version number specified per folder. And then the meat is really the new spec file, which we're going to go ahead and open up using Notepad 2. And the new spec file, it just has a couple of different things. It specifies the ID. That's the ID that list that's shown in the feed that you reference when you when you call the install package command. Show the version number, as well as the authors, any information about licensing, a description, summary, and language as well. This is the metadata about the actual package itself. When you actually run the NuGet executable, it'll look inside here, take your new spec file and package that up, but it also looks inside the lib folder for any assembly references, and you can also have a content folder as well and a tools folder. The content folder can have things like you saw with MVC scaffold. It can have anything inside the content folder is put at the project root, and the tools folder is leveraged in the bin directory as well, and so that's where you can put your PowerShell scripts, other dependent assemblies that need to come along for the ride, and things like that. Once I have this, the spec file, I can actually run the NuGet command against that. So I have a copy of that that actually lives in ctools.nuget, nuget.exe. I'm going to call pack against the MVC contrib new spec. And so that's going to go ahead and package that up. In the pack, you'll notice the .nupkg extension is really nothing more than a zip file. So to open that up and inspect it, we can just change that. Go ahead and open it up and take a look at what we've got in there. We have the things that we specified along a few of the things that NuGet brings along for the ride. There's our assembly, and we're off to the races. So once you've done this, once you've created your package, you can actually take that package file and push that up into the feed. There's going to be another way to do this in the future, and perhaps by the time you're viewing this video, you've seen the gallery, and there's going to be a new way to do this. But in the meantime, if you're pulling everything locally, once you have all of that and you've added that your new package into package sources, you can go to the root here and run this rebuild packages command. And rebuild packages will run and package everything up, and puts it in this directory called newpack packages, and then you can actually point your local package source to that location. So I can actually come in here and say local sources, and I can add a reference to this URL. Add that. So I've got local sources. I can click OK. I can change the package source here in local, and then I can do install package MVC contrib dot one. It's going to go and find that locally using my local directory as a feed, right? So it successfully added that to the razorlib.site. So you'll notice now MVC contrib dot one is here, and it came along for the ride. So once you have made those changes, you've tested everything locally, you can go back to the NuGet packages site. You can send a pull request. Go ahead and specify in here what it is that you're merging in. Actually, you need to do an HG commit first. Send a pull request to send that fork back in, and that'll be accepted and moved into the mainline source. Now let's take that a little bit further and actually create a package that modifies app configuration in the project in which it's being leveraged. For this demo, we're going to modify the specflow package. So we're going to come into the same location, package sources, specflow, and we're going to add a new folder called content. Remember from the last demo that the content folder is actually copied by NuGet at the root of your local project source, with one exception. If you create a new file and you call it app.config or web.config.transform, NuGet will actually go in and run a transformation against that, similar to the web config transforms that are available in .NET 4. So we're going to open that file up, and there's nothing in there right now, and we're going to add a default configuration, which basically just adds an app config section for SpecFlow and then sets a default unit test provider, which is something that SpecFlow isn't required by default, but we want to use to provide a little bit of extra default functionality for users that are adding SpecFlow in their applications. I'm also going to add some extra information for users that are interested in using SpecFlow as well. So we're going to run and we're going to save that. Once we've saved that, we can run the new pack tool back against this package, back against this spec file, run the package, and then add that locally. So we've already done all that. You'll notice here that I've got an app config file inside my acceptance test project, and I have an app setting in here already. So because this is a transformation and it's not just a straight replace, so when I say install package, NuGet is actually going to go in and it's going to perform a merge and keep my existing settings and add these other settings as well. And it does the same thing. You'll notice also now I have a reference to techtalk.specflow. So when I come back, and I can now say uninstall, preserves my configuration file back to normal and cleanly removes that reference. Finally, let's talk about how you can create packages that reference other packages so that dependencies can be properly managed by the NuGet system. After installing SpecFlow in the last demo, you may have noticed that the configuration specifies InUnit as the default unit test provider for SpecFlow, but there's not actually a reference to SpecFlow inside of the project. So if you build at this point after saving any of the feature files, the acceptance test project is going to fail. So we need to make a change to our spec file. So you're going to open up the specflow.newspec file, and you're actually going to add some dependencies to this file. And that's very simple. You just add a dependency node, and then underneath that, a node for the individual dependency and the version number. And you know the version number is specified here because if you go into NuGet, if you go into your local package sources and then navigate down to the dependency in question, so obviously the assumption here is that in order for you to specify a dependency, there needs to be that package does already have to exist because that's how NuGet manages those dependencies, naturally. You'll find this version number here, and that's what you're actually going to use inside of the project file itself, or inside of the spec file itself. So once you've saved that, you can actually come in and run nuget.exe pack specflow.newspec, and that's actually going to come in and create that spec for you. So let's go into package sources, specflow, row. You'll notice this new package. So we're going to take this, we're actually going to move it over into the new pack packages folder, which is what our local feed is using. I'm going to specify that, save it off, and then still using the local sources, you'll notice here, I'm actually going to run install. So NuGet at that point goes and looks at the spec file and notices that I actually that I need to reference InUnit as well, and it goes and does that for me and manages those dependencies for me quite nicely. If you're interested in learning more, reading the documentation, creating your own packages, or even getting the latest bits for NuGet, go to nuget.codeplex.com or install NuGet using the Visual Studio Extension Manager. Next time, I'll continue exploring SpecFlow and Watton, and we'll discuss step definition refactoring, tags, and reporting. Then I'll cover MVC Contrib in two episodes, followed by Structure Map to wrap up January. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, for this and other screencasts, check out bit.ly/MVC screencasts. And thank you very much for your time.